on the agenda, we have specifying language in expanded form. That's issue 159. Issue 160, which is specifying the property generator round-tripping algorithm to make sure that we don't, well, just to make sure that it produces something that's acceptable to web developers. Issue 113, which is the IRI compaction algorithm. Issue 140, which is the Objectify link API method, and then issue 153, which is error handler behavior. There are two of these issues that I don't think we're going to be able to actually resolve today just because there are too many proposals on the table and not enough of a feeling around consensus on one way or the other. So we might have to skip a couple of these. Stefan's on the call with us today. Thank you for joining us, Stefan. This is primarily because the first two issues on the agenda are Drupal-specific issues, so Stefan will hopefully be able to add some clarity if we start becoming confused about what the Drupal community needs. Anything else that needs to be added to the agenda or modified on the agenda? All right, then let's go ahead and get started. Issue 159 is here. Let's see, and the link to it is here. So issue 159 has to do with being able to round trip language map stuff. So basically, we added support in for language maps, which the Drupal community needed, as well as the Wikidata community. So that was good. One of the things that I did not understand at the time is that Lynn was asking for language maps in expanded form. So that was a little bit of a surprise because the language maps kind of require there to be a context defined, and since expanded forms, the basic understanding for expanded form is there is no context, we would have to start interpreting expanded form in very special ways if we added this language map mechanism in there. So the suggestion was, the suggestion that I made is, why doesn't the Drupal community work with the data in compacted form? Meaning that that's ideally the type of JSON data that they want to work with. They don't necessarily want to work with, they don't necessarily want to work with having to type in URLs for absolutely everything. It would much rather work with the data as if it were just regular JSON. And then that would allow language maps to be used. And because of this new feature that we added in that allows them to specify, at least via the API, not to compact single values, basically allow array form on the right-hand side of all of these statements, then that would, I believe, give them a very compact way of getting at the data while avoiding the kind of really sticky issue of adding language maps to the expanded form. Okay, so the current name is basically to specify the usage of the at language keyword inside expanded form for the specific purpose of understanding that the data in expanded form was derived from a language map, so that when we go to compact the data again, there is a hint to say, oh, this data belongs in a language map of some kind. Now, I believe Marcus raised an issue with the proposal on the table. Marcus, would you mind kind of going over the concern there that you raised in the issue?
Yeah. Basically, the issue is that if you allow add language in expanded form, it might clash or, there might be collisions with add language that's already there, or that it needs to be added to an add value object, which is either typed or shouldn't have any language at all. So let's
right.
Post a link. So in that snippet there, for example, if you have the number one or plain literal, so without language or without type, or a typed literal, you would add also an add language, and then afterwards you can't distinguish anymore if it was originally a typed literal or a language tagged string.
Right.
So either we kind of say, well, there is like we rely on precedence, or I don't know how else we solve it. One option would be to keep an add context in expanded form, but that's, well, very weird, I would say.
Yeah.
First off, I think that precedence is good in any case if type and language appears in the same region for whatever reason. Even in compact form, mostly type should have precedence.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the same way as in RDFA, and yeah, that's basically the one we can compare with.
Yeah, does if we have the precedence, if we have the precedence rule, or if we have basically type taking precedence over language, does it address your concern, Marcus? I'm still trying to read through the all of the things you've outlined there.
Well, I mean, for a plain literal, it wouldn't solve it because you just can't add the language there, so it would fall out of the language map, basically.
You could, though. Actually, I'm a bit torn here because I'm not really sure that I like the notion of language at all in expanded form, just as you seem to be uncomfortable with it, because for
yeah.
One, from an RDF perspective, it's just wrong from a theoretical point of view, because there is no such information as, apart from, and that's a special case, something which Greg raised early on as some kind of alternative ID to the current formal language maps, which I'm afraid I don't recall the details, but he said that if you use named graphs for each of the language groups, that you solve it to some extent. That's a bit more viable, but it's still strange to have that language information within the expanded form. The only way I can think of, the only way you could describe that in RDF is if you have a named graph and the named graph itself has, say, Dublin Core language with the same value. That's the way you can express that this document is in English, and then every triple stated in it which has a language has the language English, but that's just a correspondence, it's not by necessity.
Could we, I wonder if we should do something like term language, sorry, I'm typing something out here. I wonder if we should do something like that in expanded form. Actually, it wouldn't be a term, but it would be a full IRI. So,
yeah, like an alternate syntax.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I really like this solution either, because, you know, it's kind of a complexity. I mean, it makes it explicit that you're using a language map.
But the problem is, as Nicholas said, we are trying to express data which is not there. It's just some kind of metadata which we are trying to serialize.
Yeah, that's true.
we're trying to reify. Well, we're trying to. I mean, the expanded form is an abstract triple representation, basically. And what we're trying to, what we do with language maps and ID maps, for that matter, is just reified indexing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a syntactic shortcut for convenience, and it has no information in itself. And what we could ask if what's sought after here actually really has to be expanded data, because that round-tripping is impossible once it goes to triples anyway, so there is no real round-tripping possible. Only if you stay within JSON-LD and expand and compact would there be round-trips. There wouldn't be any semantic round-trip. But you could say that you could use your syntax, Manu, if you had some kind of compaction algorithm where you remove every term, but you still preserve the shape of the original input.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the purpose of this. So the whole reason that we're discussing this is because there's a concern in the Drupal community that when you have a document and you expand it and you compact it again, you could potentially get something different out. And that's a big issue, right? Because I don't think that web developers are going to be expecting to see that. Simon, do you have...
Just real quick. I think that there is a distinction here which we haven't really discussed or thought of, which might be interesting to evaluate, and it's the notion which we have here of term expansion. The only thing expanded is terms. The shape of the rest would be preserved just as it is.
Mm.
Whereas currently we have full expansion, and that's the only expansion we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps term expansion is a valuable concept. I'm not sure, but it's a possibility.
It's where we started. We kind of started there with JSON-LD a long time ago before it was public. And, I mean, you know, we ended up where we are right now. So, yeah, I mean, we could discuss that. I don't know if it ends up becoming a different type of form for JSON-LD. And if that's the case, then if it makes the language more complicated unnecessarily.
Yeah.
I just jumped in front of Stefan. I'm sorry, Stefan. Go ahead.
Hope it works here.
Nicholas,
you were talking about round tripping in RDF. You were saying that would not work, right?
Yes.
Nicholas.
As
far as I know, in JSON-LD, there is never RDF is not the structure that's being used internally. So it wouldn't be a concern. I guess your concern is just that if you were to output RDF, you wouldn't be able to do that. Or you would lose the expanded language, the language information where it's expanded, and then put
RDF. That's the gist of my concern, absolutely.
So,
I think that...
To remind you, it's not our goal is not necessarily to output RDF in the end. So I understand it's not really RDFE to have a language info for each triple, but we can on that issue we can deal with that later. As long as what we want to be able to do in a triple case is to take a compact form of JSON-LD, expand it and still keep the language info, and then do our processing with the expanded form and look up whatever data we're interested in a particular language. Whether it's shaped using a language map, like possibly grouped by language or not, we can possibly deal with either, but we just want to have the language in the expanded form. And it's not necessarily I think it was Manny who was saying that we want to expand the compacted form and then recompact it again and hope to get the same data. It's not really our use case. Really, our use case is to take a compacted form, expand it, and then do our processing there. Obviously, for the sake of speedness, you guys probably want to be able to recompact it again and get the same as input, but for us, it's not as high priority. Does that make sense? Does that clarify things?
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yes. I believe that I really see your use case. I can understand it. I've touched upon it during the RDF A to JSON LD experiment as well, preserving the shape but expanding all the terms. It's not really comparable though, because that shape isn't for direct usage, whereas in your case it's I think that there might be value given your requirements and the way I understand how you'd use it by indexing by URI. I can appreciate this, and I think that if we will want to support, if we can support it, we should consider doing it via the notion of term expansion, i.e. not full expansion. That's my current position.
Okay, so I think just a quick explanation of the Drupal use case in a little more depth. Stefan, I'm going to mute you just because I'm getting a lot of feedback. Okay, so the Drupal use case is basically every Drupal site has a slightly different context, meaning that when a Drupal site defines these things called tags, I think it's tags, it's something like that that you add. Tags can be can have different information associated with them across different Drupal sites. So each Drupal site will have its own set of tags, and those tags are actually kind of pointers to B nodes that have information about the tag, such as the label of the tag and things like that. So I think that the use case is that when two Drupal sites share data, one of them is going to export the data as JSON-LD using their context. I believe they're going to expand the data, they can share it either way. They can compact it and share it, or they can expand it and share it. And then the consuming Drupal site will take that data, and if it's compacted, it'll expand it completely, and then it'll recompact it with its context, with the second Drupal site's context, which is exactly what compaction and expansion are meant to. That's how they're meant to work. Basically, you get data in, and then you kind of regenerate the compact form based on what your context, whichever context you want to apply to the data, is, and then that makes it easy for you to just program against a pretty specific data structure. So the idea that we need to be able to reconstruct language maps, I believe is a pretty it's a pretty strong requirement. Basically, I mean, it's not very useful to Drupal if they can't use language maps through compaction and expansion. I also think that both Nicholas and Marcus have very strong points in that we are effectively expressing metadata in expanded form such that the expanded form can be regenerated into a language map if the new context has language map for that particular term. So I think the only solution that I can see working that doesn't have the issue that Marcus outlined at the beginning of the call is this kind of expanded form for language maps, which is which I'm going to put in IRC right now, which is basically that. And then we allow language to be associated with a map of some kind where the keys are BCP 47 language codes, and the data on the right of it can be just anything. It can be a B node, it can be a string, it can be a variety of other things that we allow to be associated with language maps. So at least right now it seems to me like that'll work. I don't see any reason why that wouldn't work. But maybe, Marcus, you can see an issue with that as well. So Marcus, you're on the queue. Next.
No, I don't see an issue with that, but I'm not, I mean, that's basically a question for Stefan. If this, I just posted something on IRC, if that would be an option as well. So you basically define a term for each language and you use prefix, suffix. So the suffix is basically the language. So you have kind of the same direct access method as with language maps, but they expand to different terms. And if you need to also add the language, you can even add the language in the context itself or do that with an additional context inline. So I'm not sure if it's really necessary to have one term and under that single term different languages, or if those different languages could be split to different terms.
Looking at the example. So when you say langmap example.com / lookup / term hash, is that a way to enable language map on that particular?
Well, basically, that means that language map E would expand to, hang on a sec, to something like this. So you would have a different term for every language, or a different IRI, actually.
And how would the data, look like in expanded?
In expanded form, it would look, well, you would have a full IRI with the language at the end, part of the IRI.
Does that mean you have to split the, IRI when you compact to reconstruct, to kind of scan for this, extract the language and then extract the language map? Shape the data in the same way it was shaped initially? How would you do that?
Sorry, can you say that again?
How would you recompact the expanded form with these URIs which have the language at the end?
If you recompact it with a context like this one here, you would basically, it would transform all those IRIs to prefix suffixes, where the suffix is
right.
The language.
Okay. Right.
So that's a lot like a proposal that Manu had given us early on. I'll see if I can actually find the comment where I posted that on groups.
I guess one of the downsides with this proposal would be that you couldn't use dot notation very easily to access the values. You'd have to use bracketed notation. It's not a major thing, but it's, you know, it's one of the downsides with it. I think that's one of the reasons we decided to not allow or to go with another solution that doesn't require you to put a colon in there.
Well, but if you're talking about expanded form, you have to use the brackets anyway.
That's true, but we are not, at least the assumption here is that the Drupal community would not use expanded form, that they could use compacted form to access their data.
weren't we just talking about supporting it in expanded form as well?
The only reason we support it in expanded form is so that we can recompact it correctly in a non-lossy way.
Okay.
Is that the only reason?
Well, based on this discussion, I think that's the reason that's the reason I'm discussing it. I wouldn't say it's the only reason, but this idea of having, the expression that something came from a language map in expanded form is new, and the only reason we're talking about that is because we need to be able to round trip from compact form to expanded form and back.
And back only requires that we support language maps in compaction.
I don't know if that's true, because there may be times that you express values in expanded form where you didn't necessarily want them to be put back into a language map where they... That might not
be
true.
Yeah, of course,
but
if those cases aren't applicable to the shapes of data which acquired language maps in the first case, it doesn't matter. The only important question is whether any data coming from a well-structured language map used in compact form can be compacted again to receive the same result. And that requires that everything with a language for a particular, within the scope of a particular link or property is intended to be put in the same language map. And it seems to be the case of grouping. And then any deviation from that is just shouldn't use language maps to compact, because that would always mean something strange.
Yeah, and I guess that the only time that happens is when you start mixing data together. And
yes. If you start mixing data from very disparate sources, not data which uses the same kind of approach to language.
Yeah.
So the case.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the case of mixing two Drupal sites data should work with a language map using compaction algorithm. But the things that would fall apart would be documents which have multiple languages within them, like the title is in English but the description is in Italian. Then that document would be put in separate language buckets if you use the compaction with the language map for a property.
Mm-hmm. So I think the reason why I'm proposing... let me type it out again. Okay, so I think the reason I'm kind of, at least right now, I'm kind of proposing this is because there's kind of a one-to-one mapping. The processor doesn't have to think very hard about, about the compaction case. Because it's explicit in expanded form. It's saying, look, this is a language map. When you compact it, compact the term, and then everything that's associated with that term should be in a language map. I don't know if any of the other proposals that we have on the table allow you to do that in a deterministic fashion.
Well, quick question. What happens if you compact it with a term which has not a language map then?
Could you? I didn't quite understand the question.
So you expand it and then you compact it and map that IRI to term, something like this. But you don't define the term has a language map. So would the language map still remain there?
Yeah, that's a good point. I believe so, but let's see. It's the term. I would have, either the algorithm has to check that and just remove the language map if it does, if the container isn't language. So that's a minor modification to the algorithm, but I think it's an acceptable one. So yeah, I think that's what we'd have to do. If the term doesn't have a language container associated with it, then you strip out all the language map information. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, sorry, I just had to check a message. Maybe you already answered the detail. I wonder if the expanded form you're proposing here would solve the problem of combining two sources. It seems to require things from the compaction algorithm.
I'm trying to run through a couple of examples in my head. So if you had, let's say you've got a document, two documents that you've merged together, they both use the same IRI term, and you expand. The expansion algorithm would need to effectively collate all of the objects associated with the term together, and then it would understand that you're expanding a language.
It would require the flatten operation to work also on the language map.
Yeah, well, see, I'm wondering if the source document that you have would have a term. I mean, it would either be a term that would be a language.
Well, I mean, it doesn't need to be two documents. It can be within one document as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so effectively you would need the flatten operation to happen there to combine everything. An expansion doesn't flatten, is that right? Or did we add that in?
As a flag.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, without the flag, you wouldn't. It's not an issue. Without the flag, it's not an issue because, well, without the flag and with the term ranking algorithm that we have now, it's not an issue because your term ranking algorithm will pick the non-language map thing. The non-language map entry in the context, and your language map with the term would be separate from some other object somewhere else in the graph that just has a term without the language map. So I believe that's fine in the case where we don't flatten. In the case where we do flatten, the term will be integrated. The flattening algorithm would have to be changed so the term would absorb the other value. And it would have to understand that there's a language map in use. And it would just insert that data into the language map. So that is where it would kind of address that issue. And then if you expand it again, your data would be merged in and would just be in the language map, which I see as a positive thing.
I have a problem with the, yeah, but the complexity, I mean, the expansion now really is, we have various expanded forms, depending on the use of this. I'd really prefer to see if it would work better with a compaction algorithm that understood the language map directive and just put things, descriptions into each language bucket map property and downwards.
Right. I would like to see that as well. I don't know how we could do it deterministically. How do we express that information in expanded form such that it, the compaction is done deterministically?
I don't think that we have to express anything in the expanded form other than the expanded language itself. It's just that the language map, when you traverse the document to compact it, the language map would work as a switch to say that from here on down, from this property, everything ending up in this subtree, if it has a language, has to match the current mapped language. Discard anything else.
Right. And that's, it's a fairly costly operation for deep trees. I'm just putting that out there as a data point. I don't know if that's, you know, if that convinces people one way or the other. I mean, I agree with you in principle, Nicholas. The algorithm to accomplish this is, it could become fairly complicated. So if we could, simplified, we should. I guess the concern I have is that every time we make that decision, when we say, oh, well, it would be really nice if the compaction algorithm could figure it out, it turns out that figuring out ends up resulting in a fairly complex algorithm, right? So if one example of that is the current term ranking algorithm. I mean, it captures everything that we've discussed in this group, but for complex corner cases, it becomes nearly impossible for you to understand what's going to happen without understanding the algorithm itself. Versus, for example, you know, we could do term ranking two ways. One of them is the way we do term ranking is the current algorithm, which is a multi-step algorithm. Or we could just say, you know what, the term that's picked is the lexicographically least one. And that might be wrong in many, many cases, but that's what, you know, that's the term that's selected. And that would result in something easier to understand for web developers than what we have right now, even though the corner cases wouldn't work out in the way that you'd want them to. So all that to say that I agree with you in principle, Nicholas. I'm concerned that if we go that route, that the algorithm is going to become more complex than us just expressing a one-to-one mapping between compact form and expanded form when it comes to language maps. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, the problem is I'm still saying the same. We are expressing something which we can't even model in our data model.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I mean,
yeah, well, it depends on which data model you're assuming. I'm assuming the JSON-LD data model, not the RDF data model. Okay, but I guess what we're discussing is how do we expand the JSON-LD data model to be able to express language maps?
Is there supposed to be a difference between the JSON-LD data model and RDF data model? Because I've gotten kind of confused about that because I saw Greg's email saying that
there
the RDF...
Sorry, Lynn, go ahead.
Greg's email seemed to indicate that the RDF model was going to be the canonical model for JSON-LD.
It is. This is kind of theoretical corner case, you know, discussions, but the JSON-LD data model is more inclusive than the RDF data model, meaning that the JSON-LD data model allows you to specify strings as subjects and strings as predicates, whereas the RDF data model doesn't. But for right now, we don't actually map that to anything. In the future, if the RDF model is expanded or if there's a different type of model that allows strings as subjects or strings as predicates, then we could have a new RDF mapping call that would actually do the mapping. That's like a tiny nuance difference, and it doesn't really apply to anything in practice right now. But that's why, at least that's why I'm asserting that the JSON-LD data model is different than the RDF data model. We should be very careful about when we discuss which data model we're using, you know, and we have to be careful about statements that say, well, JSON-LD uses the RDF data model, when there are cases where that's not true. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
What was I going to say this time? This was about the problem I have with the kind of deviation from the RDF, the conceptual RDF model, which we would introduce in JSON-LD if we reified the language mechanism in this way. I'll put four things in here in IRC. Let me see if I can paste this correctly. First, we have, this is from the example in the issue. These two come from the actual example. These are two different resources. And because they are different IDs. And they have different labels. One of the label has a language tag of English and the other a language tag of German. But the nodes themselves have not, in RDF terms, any language expressed to them. You can infer that it seems that foo is something English, because the only label we know is in English. But consider this instead. This is the same node. But we have put the English label into one description node and the German label in the another description node or description object, JSON object.
Right.
And we have a problem here because it's not clear whether or not we want to reify the language expression, the knowledge here. It's unclear what knowledge you want to say, describe here. Do you want to say that a node is somehow intrinsically associated with English, then you should say something along the lines of that. The difference being that we have an actual property saying that example com tag foo has a language of English. And this is quite different from that there is an English label for this resource.
Yeah. I guess the other thing that we need to be concerned about is expressing things like this, right, where it's very simple language map. You don't necessarily have objects associated with it. And basically, the reason I put that example in there is because we need to understand what the expanded form for that object is if we're going to support language maps. And that's, I think the reason I put that example in there is because that's Marcus's concern, or one of the concerns is, if we just do at language, then, and we have at value, then that is not round-trippable.
Well, actually, that form is much simpler to support and automatically compact. And that was my original idea for language maps, only concerned that shape, where you only have maps for the literals, because that's no issue. The foo is in English and the bar is in German. That's expressible, fully expressible. It's the German word bar and the English word foo.
Yeah.
There's no.
Except that doesn't work for the Drupal use case, right?
No, because the use case there is something else, and the core of that something else is whether or not the sought after description is this or this.
Well, the other thing I was proposing is the, you know, one-to-one mapping of language map from compact to expanded form. Sorry, Stefan, you're on the queue.
Yes, I just want to jump on what Nicholas was saying. When you use the DC language EN example, the way I understood this is that you're saying this resource example.com/tag/foo, that resource is in English. But in our use case, we want to have one resource, the example.com/tag/foo, and that resource, its properties can have different languages. So maybe another a better example is actually to use a URI as a menu. So imagine that you take one document and you have different authors, and each of the authors is actually attached to a language, because the version, the English version of a document was translated by author one, and the Spanish version of the resource was translated by author two. So author one and author two had two different URIs, two different responses, and we want to attach a language to these triples, if I may use the term there.
Do you really want that? Or don't? Apparently you have two different resources. One is a translation of the other.
No, we actually, so that's one of the things that has become really clear from the discussions with the people in charge of multilingual, is that they don't want to have separate graphs or separate resources for each translation. And that is what is causing the problem, because that is a difference in data model between our data model and the RDF data model. The fact that you can actually have different relationships to other entities based on the language of the resource.
Well, but then two different properties and not the same property in a different language.
Actually,
you're saying then. Go ahead.
Sorry, but that's, it's really interesting, because we're really, Stefan and Marcus are saying more or less the same thing, because they want to describe the arc. And you say that, Lynn, as well, because you, and I can understand that you have a resource and you want to say that the title is this in English and this in German. And Stefan says that you also want to track who said that it was this in English and who said that it was that in German?
Not directly related to the statement themselves.
Okay.
It's actually like you would have an author field on the node, and that author field could point to different resources. It could point to Stefan for the French version, and it could point to myself when the resource is requested in English.
Okay, but then you're still describing two different resources. You're describing the translation into English and the translation into German.
I understand that in the RDF model, that is how it would be conceived. And I've actually proposed that as a possible solution to this. The problem is, like, a good way to handle that in JSON-LD would be named graphs. But named graphs are simply too complicated for our use case. We have the problem that basically, there are very, very few, 2 to 3 people in Drupal that even understand these concepts. And so if we start introducing this crazy syntax for accessing things, I'm afraid that is just not going to be at all maintainable.
If we think back to why JSON-LD exists, it's to prevent this kind of dumping of the entire RDF architecture onto people. It's to allow people to just use JSON like they've been using JSON, and just just use simple accessors and work with the data like that without having to understand any of this RDF data modeling stuff. So
I have to object to this, because this has really nothing to do with the complexity of RDF, but the complexity of clear, precise, logical descriptions. And I've seen the same situation. I've worked with so many projects where they've said that we don't want to concern ourselves with this kind of precision, and they end up conflating data. So, and
but
that's really
the. I don't think that's the case in the Drupal use case, right? It's they're expressing information about nodes and. Let me put it this way. I can certainly see your point, Nicholas, that they could be modeling the data in a different way to make it more clear. I'm just not convinced that they should have to do that, in that I don't know if they are really conflating two different things. Saying that the description of something in another language is a different resource is... It's a truth-y statement, meaning that, you know, I can see where it could be true, but in the Drupal use case, it would be really, it would be much more beneficial to their developers they would be allowed to do it in that way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I'm not an extremist here or a fundamentalist. We have to find a pragmatical solution to the issue. But if you say that it's the translation of a resource is something distinct from the resource by definition, otherwise you wouldn't have to talk about it separately.
The translation for us isn't a separate resource.
But there are two different translations possible, right? They are distinct.
So basically, you get when you request a page, you get an entity that has all of the different properties, and within our internal model, it has languages for each of those properties. And so, if your accept header comes in, or your accept language header comes in asking for English, what would get displayed are any of the properties that can be displayed for the English. Like there's some processing that goes on to show only the ones that can be displayed in English. But the entity itself in our data model has all of those properties, regardless of whether or not they're going to be displayed.
So, but you also have separate authors. So you could use something. What we could have is something like because you have something like this. We don't have to have a named graph necessarily. You could have the resource, and you could have the fact that for translation, in English, the author was Lynn, and in German, the author was Stefan. You never actually have to describe the translation in any more detail than that.
So you're saying that for each property, because all of our properties are translatable. All of our properties can have multiple language versions. So for each property, we would have a translation key, which would embed all of the different translations?
No, in this case, it would be, it depends on if you want to describe the translation for each property separately.
We do. Otherwise, that's 100% sure that we do want that.
Yeah. Then you could put something like that. Or you could have something along the lines of what Marcus suggested, have special properties, which is in effect what in, well, this is even more abstract than RDF, but in OWL there's that concept of a property path, which is that you have a property which actually represents the combination of the translation and the author into translation author. So you could have title author or something like that. But I really have to look more at the actual data to see if there is a possibility to express that.
Marcus, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I was along the same lines as Nicholas. So could you restructure your entities to contain at the top level a property for each language, and under that property you keep all the language-related information?
So you're saying that you would have the entity level, and then you would access the language, and from there you would get the properties rather than the property coming under the language or under the So I actually did suggest that to our multilingual initiative lead, and didn't get any traction with that. I mean, they've put so much work into it, and it's already like this in Drupal 7, so they've put so much work into having it like this. I don't think that we can or should, you know, Stefan or I should can or should push for them to make such a fundamental change in the way we're structuring our data model.
No, but as I understood it, your data model is you have a property, and that property has an associated language, right?
So, yeah, you basically, you would say, you know, you would access the title property, and then the title has an English version or, you know, a Russian version. And so from what I'm understanding, you say flip that around so that you access, you know, the Russian version of the entity, and then you have its properties underneath that.
Yes, exactly. But like in implementation, it's more or less the same. You just group all the properties for each language and then serialize them under that term.
So they're doing a lot of stuff in the multilingual initiative that I actually don't understand. And, you know, about, you know, when you can show this language version if it's in this other language, and when you can, you know, so there's a lot of other logic that they have that rests on top of this data structure, data being structured the way it is. Unfortunately, like I said, I'm not involved in the multilingual initiative, so I can't speak articulately to all of the details of that. But I really don't think that we have, because, you know, they're only 2 to 3 people that understand this stuff in Drupal. I don't think that we have the ability to convince everybody else that we should restructure how we've been doing everything because of JSON LD.
Okay, so basically your only problem is that you don't want to turn it around. But you would be fine
I don't think that we can. I don't, because like there's, you know, hundreds of people working on that stuff. And there's 2 to 3 of us who actually understand RDF data models.
But you would be fine if you have author and then EN and then your ID, right? And it wouldn't matter if EN would expand to full IRI in expand.
We need to be able to attach EN. So we need to be able to know that the author is only related to this node in the English version.
Yes. So something like, let me dive it. Like this would work for you, right?
That is actually what we already had shown, I thought.
Yeah.
That's
but
what we have already.
Give me a second. But it wouldn't matter if after expanding, it would become something like this, right? So that it isn't actually a language, but an IRI.
So we would put one layer in between the property and its actual value when it's expanded. Then can it compact back to the other form without,
Actually, that would work already today without any modification. So you wouldn't even need language maps for that.
Okay. Well, that might actually work.
Okay. I, the one concern that I have with this is that we're going to end up having a term for every single language.
Yeah, but it's, that's really a big issue.
We have
vocab now, for example, so we could handle it with that.
Well, I guess if you were to translate this to RDF, it would be a kind of a big issue,
right?
Because your data is junk at that point, right? I mean, you're
right.
Expressing languages as predicates, and that's
well, but it is actually a predicate. It's an arc in your graph. It's not a language per se. You're not expressing a language.
Right. I mean, you can certainly make the argument for that, and you can make the. I think the other argument is equally valid.
There is the possibility of what we discussed, which was general property maps. That is just like language maps, but for any property. So you could have say that. For this author term, the container is Dublin Core language, and then you would have the language as a key. And when you map that, you would say that author has, well, author with the language is strange, but perhaps translator translates into language or some other property like that, and then the value would be English or German.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, since Drupal isn't converting to RDF, this I think would work for the use case. I guess the only concern is that if they wanted to do this in the future, is that really the model they want to have come out? Stefan, Lynn, do you guys have an opinion one way or the other?
We could use.
Well, I think
I don't have a. Opinion at this point, but it's not a high priority list to be able to export an RDF in the purest sense.
Yeah, I think that we could do something like provide some kind of construct that would actually, you know, if there's framing in JSON-LD or Sparkle construct or whatever, that actually provides, you know, it moves it to a more standard version that loses the language tagged resource concept that we're kind of inserting here, that basically that, you know, gets rid of that data. So we lose some data, but we go to a more normal RDF serialization of it. So we could, I'm not volunteering to do this, but if somebody did want to create a more standard RDF representation on top of the JSON-LD, we could do that.
Looking at the link that Marcus just put in there. Right. So, I mean, this is... I mean, it definitely works. I think it does work for your use case, Stefan and Lynn.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I don't know if that's... One, I don't know if it's good to model data in that way. I feel uneasy about it, but modeling the data in this way, I think is the point that Nicholas and Marcus are making, in that this is actually what your data model is. But I can also see how it's not. In the RDF data, you don't necessarily want to express it in that way, because it seems like you're adding extra information in there that's not really. It is there and it's not there. I guess is what I'm saying. It depends on what your idea of the data model is. The other concern I have is that we may, you know, if this works for the Drupal folks, then there's a strong argument to figure out whether or not we actually need language maps, because if this approach also works for the Wikidata folks, then we don't need language maps.
Are language maps also useful in the compacted form?
They are, but I mean, you could emulate the language map using this mechanism that Nicholas and Marcus, are proposing. So you wouldn't need language maps. The question is whether or not the data model works for
Wikidata.
Yeah.
But I wonder if Wikidata didn't want just a simple language map where title.en results to the English title.
I wonder if there should be like a BCP 47 IRI. That would make me feel a little better about this approach. Okay, so we've spent an hour and 10 minutes discussing this issue. I think we should probably take a step back at this point, think about it a bit more, see what Greg Nicholas, really quickly, just think ask what Greg and Dave Longley think about it, and then come back around and discuss it. So I think we have two fairly solid proposals on the table that address the Drupal use case here. One of them is this proposal where the languages actually become IRIs, properties themselves. And then the other approach is to have a one-to-one mapping between compact and expanded form for language maps. Nicholas, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wonder where the title in the example Marcus added would end up.
Sorry, what did you just say?
In the example you wrote up, where would the properties of the resource end up? We had the... Would there be a similar map for things other than author? Would we have repeated statements in English and German for each thing? Or would we want to group them into one block of things for the English and one block for the German stuff?
Well, that's what I proposed initially, but Lynn said that that's not what they want. So they don't want to have language and then all the properties, but the property and then you switch between the languages. So you have author and then language, and not first the language and then author.
Right.
Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, that was my question. Okay.
Okay, so is there any objection to trying to move on to the next issue and just kind of taking this back up in the issue tracker and the mailing list?
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
We could also, I don't know if we have consensus, but do we want to support complex language maps or just simple language maps? So by simple, I mean just for literals.
Yeah.
My gut feeling right now is if we're going to support language maps, we need to support everything that Drupal's doing in the language map. So I don't know if I see the point in having a language map that only does literals. I mean, I see the point in it. I just don't know. I don't know if it's worth the added complexity. Because we can do simple, the simple string value language. Well, no, we can't. We can't tag it with the language, can we?
No.
It would preserve
actually,
some valuable data.
Yeah, so I guess the other concern I had... Sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. For the example Marcus gave, if we had title and description there as well, it would be valuable to have those as simple language maps because then we would preserve the language tag.
The other way that we could do it is we could associate a language with the term in the context. I think that's the that would be the right way to do it. So we wouldn't need, I don't think we'd need language maps in that case. If we go with the approach that Nicholas has proposed, in the context we can specify the, you know, the BCP 47 IRI and then associate a language with the term. So you could have very simple, you could emulate language maps doing that. Does that make sense? So if you would, in the context, you would have term EN, or let's see, you would have, and then ID, Perl.BCP47, hash EN, language. So you do that in the context, and then you could do really simple like EN foo, and that would expand to value foo language EN. Right.
Yeah, it's not usable or as RDF though. I mean,
yeah,
it's,
exactly.
I want the title, and yeah. If you have that as a value of title, right? The
mm-hmm.
title would be a node with that as a property.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. That's what I'm concerned about is that the way we're modeling this doesn't really map well to RDF. It solves the issue for Drupal because they never have to move to RDF, but if somebody wanted to consume the data as RDF, it's questionable about whether or not that's the ideal data model to work with. My argument that is that it's not.
Well, but even language maps, we couldn't translate them to RDF, the Drupal language maps.
Yeah, but I don't think that the RDF folks really care all that much about the language map not being preserved in that case.
What I do think is that RDF consumers like, well, in the future, Freebase, for instance, would love to have usable RDF from the every deployed Drupal site in the world.
Right, and so I guess...
And every library...
Go ahead, Nicholas.
Yeah, and the every library, which, I mean, I actually am at a library, the Royal Library of Sweden right now, where they try to use linked data in as usable shapes as possible in using Dublin Core and stuff for integrating all of the world's information, including every website. So I think that from this big grand perspective, which we're always accused of having in the RDF community, it's starting to bear fruit, which is why I think that it's spending time on this is really valuable, because I think that the RDF folks are very close to this shape, and using JSON-LD for the pragmatic purposes that they are should and seems to be very close to the beautiful world of RDF, if you will. I mean, we're just around the corner. We're very close. All of these examples we have are just variations around the pivotal point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we all see the intent and we see the notion of the entities.
Mm-hmm. Stefan, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I don't think RDF should be blocky here because we could, if it's just Drupal preventing this issue from moving on. We could think about this issue separately, and we could, I don't know, we could create separate URIs for each translation. I don't know, there are different ways we could handle that and kind of turn our awkward internal model into something more useful or more aligned with RDF. So I don't think we should really wait on that to be solved.
Right.
Well,
Stefan,
could
we could mail about this privately afterwards, perhaps,
yeah.
If you, because I have some ideas, I'd like to just throw
yeah.
them out.
Yeah, make sure to CC Lynn on that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess the reason we're having such a difficult time with this is that there's no, of course, clear. There's no clear answer to this. You can model both things. You can model it in both ways, and I think each one is valid depending on the parent classes you're wearing at the time. Yeah. So, what Lynn put in to IRC. Is important. Okay, so I think the main issue that we have is that we're, at least I'm not convinced that we need to model the data in the way that Marcus and Nicholas are proposing. I believe it does work for the Drupal folks. But I don't think is a good way to model it in the larger RDF, as larger RDF, well, basically as RDF. I don't think that's the right way to model it as RDF. The other concern that I have is that anything that where we have this kind of disagreement on what the data model is, internally within people that understand what these two data models are, right, anytime we have a conflict like that, I think it's very difficult for us to ask another community to say that they should be laying their data out in a different way. So, you know, as Lynn said, you know, the translation community has decided on this data model. Whether or not we believe that data model is the right data model, If it was clearly a wrong data model, then I think that the decision would be easier. But I think the way that we're looking at this, it's not clear that is a wrong way for them to model the data. And if one of the goals of JSON-LD is to work with data as people have modeled it out there and try to translate it to RDF, the translation to RDF should have the appropriate mapping performed on it. So basically, we should be able to take the Drupal data model as they have modeled it and translate it to RDF and express it in such a way that it's useful to RDF people. And I don't know if it's very useful if we associate, you have a property and that property is associated with a BCP47 node and that BCP47 node is associated with the actual tag information. I think it's dangerous to do that, because if you were to take all of that RDF data and mush it together in the data store, that BCP47 tag would have a ton of data associated with it, where that really isn't the intention. That's not the intent of what Drupal is trying to do. I don't know. It's very concerning to me when we start, you know, telling people that they need to kind of change their data model. Anyway, so that's why I don't think that we're really in any place to make any kind of proposal on this, Marcus. I think things are a bit. We need more opinions, I think, in here before we start to go one way, because I don't think that we're even close to having consensus on this particular topic. I think so. Just to be very clear, though, we want to address this issue, it's just not very clear how we're going to address the issue. Are we going to ask Drupal to change the data model, which is probably not a non-starter? Are we going to come up with a one-to-one mapping between compact and expanded form for language maps? Or the final proposal is, do we come up with IRIs and use those instead for BCP 47 language codes? So those are the three options that are on the table right now. I think the first one's a non-starter, and I think the last one, which is BCP 47 IRIs, is very problematic from an RDF modeling standpoint. And I don't know if the middle option is actually going to result in a simple solution. Okay. All right, so we're pretty much out of time for the call today. Any other last words on this issue before we kind of take it to mailing list and issue tracker discussion? All right. Thanks, everyone, for the very in-depth discussion about this issue. We will get to a resolution on it eventually. We just need to work through all the positives and the negatives of the issue. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful week, and we'll chat again next week. Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks.